There is no truer statement. There is no one like God. Amen. Because of the time, we'll get there. Amen. I want to thank Brother Calvin for coming on this day and sharing what it was like here. How this neighborhood has changed. And while he was talking, what I was amazed about is that he actually knew everybody who was in this neighborhood. You know, I venture to say that most of us couldn't name three or four people in our current neighborhood that we live in. And that's how things have changed. We're not that connected, not just here, but even where we live. And I think that's missing in our society, that we don't know each other. We have a lot of friends on Facebook. But what about the people who live right next door to us? I think that would be a challenge for us to take on as the body of Christ, even just to get to know the folk in this neighborhood. They might know this is the same church that's been here now, and the Lord tarries and he allows us to be here until next September. It'll be 130 years. 130 years. Next September will be 130. Right now it's 129. Amen. And that's a blessing. A lot of the families have moved on, but now you are here. Different families, and our family on Zoom and on Facebook, totally different families now. Most people who come to this ministry don't live here. They don't live in the community. We travel. All of us have cars, and we drive here. And the people who are probably living in the community, they go to other churches somewhere else, very transit area. But I still think even though they might worship somewhere else, we should know who they are. And they should know who we are. Amen. Amen. So I challenge us to go out there and see if we do that. This week, I've been challenged because as I left here last week, I felt like I didn't accomplish what I believe the Lord wanted me to, and so I spoke with my brother in love and asked him, what should I do about that? And he says, what is the Lord telling me to do? And so we're going to go back to Isaiah 55 and finish up what I did finish last week. You know, you guys know I'm a stick on the time now. I used to keep you guys for 2 hours, things like that. And as I begin to actually fall in love with you, I was going to let you guys go for 30 minutes. So I'm very mindful of that the mind can only handle what the seat can do. So I kind of cut it off last week, but I left, as someone said, I left some meat on the bone. And I think it was very important, and that's why it kind of bothered me. And it was the last point that I never really got a chance to. Once I looked at my clock and I saw that it was already 11:30, I just kind of gave you a last point and I said a few things about it and then it ended. And if you all remember, I said that in Isaiah 55, the whole chapter is about an invitation. I didn't give you a title. The branch I gave you as a title. I just think it was an invitation and I kept being called the great invitation, something like that.
Accept
the invitation. But as I was reading that, as I taught the book of Isaiah, as I read the book of Isaiah, I thought it was a very beautiful invitation that God had put there for us. And it fit right into the narrative of getting people to understand that they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I said in this whole chapter, there's three things. I said that one of the things we understood that this invitation is universal in scope. I said it's three U's, right? And I said the three U's were it was universal in scope. And I went through that, spent some time on that. I said it was urgent in tone, which means you got to make a decision. That's why I said seek the Lord might be found. And then the last one I said it was unique in content. And I didn't really get into that part. And so that's where I want to go today. I want to talk about the last point. And I'm going to read the whole chapter again. I'm going to hurry, give you a skim over the first two again, but then I'm going to go into the last one and then we're going to get about it here. Amen. Listen to the word of the Lord, Isaiah 55. It says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you did not know, you shall run to you. Because the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. For my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow comes and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things which I sent. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord. Everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. That reads the entire chapter 55 of Isaiah. And basically, what we were talking about here is again, very quickly, just in case you're a first-time visitor or you're just tuning into us, chapter 53 and 52 are basically the chapters of the suffering servant. Amen. And it talks about what Jesus Christ was going to do when he came here to what? To rescue us from the wrath to come. Chapter 54, you have to understand that is what Isaiah was trying to get the Israelites to understand the benefits of being a part of the family of God. And then chapter 55, he extended the invitations to everyone. That's why it says that it was universal in scope. And I talk about the first five verses of chapter 55 talks about the universality of this invitation. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy me. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? And I spent a whole lot of time talking about these words and coming and what it meant to come and to everyone, how it sounds to everyone. And that says in the part that will make you want to come is that you're thirsty, that you have a thirst, a hunger for for righteousness' sake, and when you come there, you will be satisfied. You no longer spend your time and your money and your labor on things that do not satisfy. You will listen diligently to me, and you will eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food, which is the word of God, which has everlasting life, and it will give you that if you understand what it says, and you come and you receive that. An invitation to the banquet table. That's what we're talking about, to the banquet that the Lord has already brought. The reason why you can't buy the food is because nobody can buy the food. Nobody can actually pay for their own salvation. Amen? And that's what he was saying. He says, but you can come and you can take partake in it. Why? Because the price has already been paid by Jesus. Amen? So it's universal in scope. And then I said that it was urgent in tone. Went down to the first six where it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. Implication, guess what? You're not going to always be with him. There's going to come a time, guess what? When he comes, he takes his trip with him. Guess what? It will be too late. All the time will come when you're no longer breathing. You're no longer on this side of the joint. Guess what? You've already made the decision. It's too late. But right now is what is the acceptable day of what? Salvation. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Some of you might think you just came because somebody invited you here. Some of you are listening right now. You've never been before. But God is calling you to seek him while he yet may be found. If you'll call upon him, it means that you will ask him to come into your life and you'll receive the free gift of salvation. Remember, no one can buy it, no one can earn it. It's a free gift of salvation. Amen. We talked about that in Ephesians, what? 2:8-9. Can't go there again today. And then the last part that I wanted to get to, and I never got a chance to get to it, and I said that it was unique. What I meant by the uniqueness of it is that there's only one way to the Father. Amen. There's only one way to be saved. John 14:6 says what? That he is the truth and he is the life. What? No man can come to the Father but through the Son because of what he has done. And he gives you an idea in the text here, what he's talking about, by the fact that there's three things. He says that it's part of the thought process. We don't think like God. Amen? I know you got the mind of Christ, but guess what? There are certain things that your mind cannot even grasp. We can't even comprehend the grace of God in his totality. The second part of it is that there's a sovereign power at work. God can only do certain things. Amen. And the last part I want to get to today is that there was a divine purpose for all of us. Amen. So those are the thought process, the sovereign power, and the divine process. Look at the word of the Lord. Verse 8 in chapter 55 says that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. You have to come to a point in time in your life where you realize that God had already figured this thing out before the foundation of the world. God knew that when he created Adam and Eve, that guess what? They were going to mess up. It was going to cause what? The great fall in chapter 3 of Genesis. God already knew that when he created us anyway. He allowed us still to have free will. He did not make us robots that we might have to do what? To be like soldiers and continue to just walk in the way he wants to walk. He gave you free will that you might have a decision that you would what? You would choose him freely because of who he is. Amen. And the thing we need to understand is that God has something that we can never have. He makes things called fiats. You know what that is? Not that little car yourself. Amen. But there's a fiat. This is an authoritative decree. It's an order. We call it a divine fiat. And they're all throughout the Bible. And the first one is that God said, and God spoke what? And everything that we know came into existence. That was a fiat. That was a divine fiat. He created us out of what? Ex nihilo. Out of nothing. Amen. Which means that whatever God says, what comes to fruition. Yes, there's authoritative power. It's called a divine fiat. And he says that. And when he told Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, the day they eat of that tree, and guess what? They will what? They will surely die. Amen. That was a what? That was a decree that God had spoken. And guess what? It had to come to what? Fruition. And when they did it, even though they didn't die physically right away, and that is part of God's what mercy and his grace showing you right in the beginning, they died spiritually. There was a separation. And when that happened, there was a chasm that caused it, because, and that we had no way back to God. Amen? No way back to him. And we couldn't figure out how to do it. And our thoughts could never get there. And that's what he means by, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And there is no way we could ever figure out how to make this work once it had happened. There are a lot of smart people who try to figure this thing out. But here's the thing you can't figure out, is that someone had to die for someone, and someone had to be able to die and fulfill that divine decree, which was through a holy God. So we needed a what? We needed a holy vessel to actually do it. Amen. And here's the problem. After Adam and Eve sinned, no one was going to be what? Able to be worthy to fulfill that decree. Get it? That's where it all comes from. That's where it all stems from. And Paul gives us a very good picture of some of this. And he was saying, and even if you could, you probably wouldn't. In Romans 5:1, it says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. See, we're only justified by the faith that we have in what Christ did. Amen. And that means we have peace with God. We're no longer at enmity with God. We have peace with God. We come together with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained what? Access by faith into this grace that we really can't understand, in which we stand, in which we rejoice, what? In the hope of the glory of God. Amen. That way it's going to be okay. In the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, right? Because our hope is in Christ, not in what we did, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which we now have, who has been given to us. Verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ fulfilled the divine fiat, the decree. He died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Got it? Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Amen. And that's the thought he's talking about. That kind of mind where he would actually do something that he didn't have to do because he loves us that much, which we wouldn't think to, and for the people that we think we love. We don't think that way. We're not trying to die for anybody. We're trying to live for ourselves. And that's why he said that his ways are so higher than our ways. As far as heaven is from the earth, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Why? Because he thinks of others. And you get no better picture of that. I don't have time to go there, but you got to read Philippians 2 when you get home. And I talked about how Christ, with that mind of Christ that we say that we now have, didn't think it was robbery to what? To give up that equality he had with God and to come down here and die for us. All of that is in that picture of how his thoughts are so much different than our thoughts. And we're working towards that. And in that invitation, he wants you to understand that there was only one way to do it. And here is the, one person was saying, here's the coup de grace that makes it all let you know that there was only one way and there is no other way. And that is in Matthew 26. Amen. Matthew 26. Verse 39, where Jesus is in the garden, and he's about to go to what? The cross. And I thought at 26:39, where it says this. And going a little further, he just talked to his disciples under the praise, they pray. He says, and going a little further, he fell on his face and praying, saying, my Father, this is God, this is Jesus Christ, my Father, if it is possible, you understand that. In other words, if there is another way for this wrath to be settled, got it? Let this cup pass, the cup of wrath, from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. There was no other way for this to be done than for Christ to come, God to come in human flesh, to pay himself the debt that we incurred by sinning against a holy God. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. Remember that. That invitation is to you because you have no other way. It's unique. It can only be done one way. And God has the power to do it. Look at verses 10 and 11. Remember I said that it's basically by the fact that it's the thought process, but it's the sovereign power. And he gives you an idea of that in 10 and 11. He says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent. God decreed for this to happen. In all this word, throughout his prophecies, throughout Isaiah, he said that he was going to do it and it's going to come to fruition. His word will not be quiet. His word will not be stopped. And he gives you an idea of the fact that he allows it to rain, he allows it to snow, and the rain comes down and does what? It does exactly what God wants it to do. Isn't that amazing? It comes down and it waters the earth. And what does it do? It produces what? Life. That's what he wants you to get out of that. The rain and the snow actually comes down and it waters the earth and things sprout up. What? It produces life. What does God's word accomplish? It produces life. Amen. Yeah. That's the correlation there. The word, the water, the snow, and see, it goes down and what? It produces seed for the sower and bread for the eater, from the beginning to the end. The seed at the beginning, the bread at the end. That's what becomes, right? And what? Through that bread, you get life. Amen. He says, so does my word does the same thing out of my mouth. And here, look at the pronouns in this. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. And it shall not return to me empty. And it shall accomplish that which I purpose. And shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. Who's doing all this? God. His sovereignty. And he's producing life out of his word. Amen? A beautiful picture of this is in Acts 5 and 20. Remember when the apostles had been arrested in jail and the angel of the Lord comes in and released them out of the jail? What does he tell them to do? You don't even read it. Acts 5 and 20. He says this, and the angel of the Lord comes out. He says, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Life. God's word produces life. Amen. It says, speak life. God's word brings about life. But don't be deceived. It also brings condemnation to those who do not believe and accept the free gift of salvation. Amen. It speaks life, but it also brings with it condemnation. And we must understand that. John 12:48 says this, the word which I have spoken that shall judge them at the last day. It's the word of God that we're going to be judged by. Amen. It's the word of God that frees you when you choose life, when you choose Christ. Why? Because the word of God also says there is what? No condemnation in those who are in Christ. And we're in Christ. We become alive in Christ by what? Receiving the free gift of salvation by accepting the invitation that God gives us. And what is this all for? As I hasten to a close, I would love to really go down to that part of that well and just keep going and going and going. But what is it all for? But the last thing I told you I got out of this was the fact that there's a thought process, there's a sovereign power, but there was a divine purpose. And he says what? It shall accomplish what? The purpose. See that? It shall succeed in the things which I sent. And here's the purpose in 12 and 13. For our joy and for his name. Amen. He did all of this for our joy and for his name. To the text. It says, verse 12 says, for you shall go out in joy. There's not a person in this sanctuary, there's not a person watching me on Zoom or Facebook that does not have joy if you're really saved. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we never knew such joy until we got saved. Now, I thought I was one of the happiest guys out here, and I wasn't saved until I got saved. I realized I was doomed. Amen. I was going to a place that I would have never wanted to be in once I got there. And now I know joy like I've never known it before. Amen. Out of all the things I've been through, I still have joy in Christ. That's what he said. And again, in his proper context, what he's talking about is that when the Israelites are going to be what? When they were going to be relieved from their exile, they were going to go back to Jerusalem, they're going to have joy. And what he's telling us is that once we've been relieved from what? The bondage of sin, and now that we're in Christ, we ought to have that same joy. Amen. And so what he's telling us is that if we will be led what? And forth in peace. A peace that what surpasses all understanding. You only get that in Christ. Amen. There are things going on in our life right now, and we still able to cope with them. Why? Because of what? The grace of God, and we know that he has us. Amen. There are people losing their mind over COVID. Amen. And we are triumphing through it. You know why? Because no matter what happened to us, we're still in Christ. Amen. And he's taking care of us. This stuff that the world is worried about, we don't have to worry about those things. Yeah, we have to live with it. But God says what? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what he says, all those other things that they are worried about will be added unto us. And I believe that with all my heart. Because I have the joy of Christ. And I have the peace of God. And I have the Holy Spirit that indwells me, that lets me know that this word is true. Amen.
Amen.
It says, in the mountain of the hill before you shall break forth and sing, and all the trees in the field shall clap their hands. These are just metaphors that you know that guess what? All the things that we actually understand is it's like the whole world is just joyful. Why? Because we know that one day this all this cheerful stuff is going to be gone. We're going to be living in a paradise that will be it's incomprehensible. Amen. You're going to think the mountains are singing. We're going to have so much fun up here. Amen. I'm telling you, you're going to think that the trees are clapping their hands. Amen. It's that kind of joy that we're going to have. Why? Because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever. That's going to be a great time. It's going to be a joyful time, but don't get it twisted. He did it for his name. Amen. Amen. That's the real purpose. It's all about God. It's all about God. He says, instead of the thorns shall come up for cypress, instead of the briars shall come up for myrtle. He's talking about the future rich part. Remember, because once we said that all these things begin to come up, the thorns and all that, it's going to reverse all that. Amen. You have the new earth. And guess what? All of a sudden, he says, and when we get there, he's going to say, and it shall make a name for the Lord. When we look back and notice how we got over, it's all about Jesus. It wasn't you got a raise on your job to pay your bill. If God had grace on you, you got a raise on your job to pay your bill. Amen. It's how you all look at things in perspective, isn't it? Yeah. It was the raise and the money you got, but that was by the grace of God. It was all by his name. Everything that we've done, everything that we shall ever do, we can't boast about. Why? Because it's about the name of the Lord. Amen. Acts 4:12, I love it again. It says that, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's about his name. It's always been about the name of Jesus, isn't it? And the name of Jesus, everyone, knee shall. And every tongue
shall confess.
Jesus is Lord. Isn't that good news? It's about his name.
It's good news.
It's always been about the name. There was a song, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the what? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan would have got it. Who can stand me for us? When we call on that great name. What is it? Jesus. Jesus. Precious Jesus. We have the victory. It's all in his name. Amen. It's always been about his name. And this whole invitation thing, it is for you, but it's about him. Amen. The last you is you, but it's about him. It will always be about God. When we get to heaven, they ain't gonna have no Martin Luther King Avenue. Amen. Everywhere I go now, every city I go to, there's a Martin Luther King Avenue. I ain't saying nothing. I think Martin Luther King was a great man, but when I get to heaven, ain't gonna be no Martin Luther King Avenue. Amen. It's going to be about Jesus. The streets going to be paved with gold, and they all going to have his name. Where are you going? I'm going down Jesus Boulevard, Jesus Highway, Jesus Place, Jesus Street, Jesus Road, amen. Jesus Path, amen. Whatever it is, it's got to be about Jesus. It's about his name, and it's going to be what? It's an everlasting name. Sign that shall never be cut off. You can depend on Jesus. Amen. The Alpha. And y'all speaking Greek now. Amen. I had to come back and give it to you. You know why? Because when I left last week, I said, if you didn't have that peace, something would have been missing out of this invitation. But now you understand that guess what? It's about the thought process. We don't think like God. Amen? Because I've been honest with God. If I was God, I don't know. I'm just being real. I love you. But I'm just being real. Jesus said, Lord, if this cup can pass, and well, it can. See, that's what I didn't get. It could have passed. But we would have been lost. That's the part you got to remember. And he could have started all over again. With what? A divine fiat. He could have spoke all over again and said, okay, let me do it all over again. And guess what? He could have kept doing it as much as he wanted to. Because he's not subject to time. He's outside of time, working in time.
Right.
He's God. He is sovereign.
Amen.
Don't ever think that he had to. He did it because he loves you. He did it all just for you. This invitation is great. There is no other. Guess what? It's universal in scope. If you'll come, he'll receive you. And this word said, abundantly pardon you. Amen. But it's urgent. Better come while yet may be found. Amen. And it's unique. Don't look for another way. It's only through Jesus that you get this invitation. Father, we thank you again for this time in your presence. Thank you for this great invitation. Thank you for being willing to come and die for a wretch like me. And now we give you glory, we give you praise in the life that we try to live now in this flesh. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself just for me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.